listening to Cotter My Pub.
It's going to be hilarious.
You'd best put seatbelts on your ears, Roy. Because I'm going to take them for the ride of their lives.
On ThingsDesSays.net.
For the first time in 2015, happy Saturday to your ass, wherever it may be. You're listening to Culture My Pop on ThingsDesSays.net. Whether you're listening on iTunes or on the website ThingsDesSays.net, thank you for tuning in. Happy to have you. We had a great year last year. It was the first year of Culture My Pop, and I think this year is going to be even more exciting. I'm flying solo this week because Faraz, we have a guest this week, and usually when we have a guest, Faraz decides to sit things out. So he'll probably be back next week. But we have a great guest this week to kick off 2015 on Culture My Pop. I'm really stoked for this. My good buddy Bubba Sanchez joins the show to talk about the upcoming album for his band Viernes 13. Viernes 13. A really fun ska band. It's been around since the mid-90s. And they have a new album coming out on Tuesday that you can procure on the iTunes and the Amazon.com. We'll have all the information for that on the website, thingsdesays.net, if you want to go up there. If you're listening on iTunes or Downcast or however you get your syndicated audio, go up to thingsdesays.net and you can check out all the information on the album, where you can buy it, and all that fun stuff. But Bubba's a really cool guy because we talk about it a little bit on the show, but we both grew up in the same city. We went to the same school. We basically did the same things, only 10 years apart. He's about 10 years older than I am. But other than that, we went through the same channels. So we just kind of sat down and, for lack of a better term, we shot the shit for, I don't know, about 40 minutes or so. And we talked about the band. We talked about stand-up. We talked about for-profit universities. So it was a fun time. So I invite you to sit back and enjoy yourself on a Saturday afternoon. And if you're listening as this podcast comes out, so if you're listening on Saturday, January 10th, and you still don't have any plans for tonight, well, Viernes 13 has a show at the Troubadour in L.A., so if you want to go to that show, it's $12 at the door. It's going to be really fun. You're going to have, obviously, Viernes 13 headlining. That's their album release party, by the way. And you can also watch Left Alone, who will be opening for Viernes 13. That's going to be a fun show if you're around tonight and in the L.A. area. I encourage you to head out there. And then on Tuesday, of course, the album drops. So before we go any further, I want to thank you again for tuning in. I want to remind you, or if this is your first time listening, I want to inform you that if you go up to our website, thingsdesays.net, you will find yourself with a link. And I wish Faraz were here because he would tell you that link tells you to, in fact, click here. And when you click upon that link, it takes you to Amazon.com. Yes, that Amazon.com, the one that you know and love. But when you click on our particular link, every purchase you make afterward will actually go back to us. So Amazon.com, the giant corporate entity that is Amazon.com, will kick back just a little bit extra, at no extra cost to you, by the way. But Amazon will kick us a little bit of money so we can continue to, you know, pay for the website and pay for the podcast hosting fees, because that shit gets expensive after a while. So head up to Amazon and do that. And if you don't have any money, that's totally fine. You can always just subscribe on iTunes, because that drives the numbers up a little bit. You can leave a review. Tell people what you enjoy about the podcast here on ThingsDesSays.net. So those are the plugs. Those are the in-house keeping notes. That's what keeps the podcast free. So without any further ado, let's go and have our conversation with Bubba. And we'll talk to you next week. Remember, if you're a wrestling fan, we've got the Monday show, the People's Podcast, coming your way every Monday. Faraz and I will be back for that. And the next Saturday, back again, College My Pop. The holidays are over, so it's business as usual here on ThingsDesSays.net. Let's have a chat with the very talented Bubba Sanchez.
You think it's recording this up here?
Yeah.
We're boring.
Yeah. So thanks for doing the podcast.
This is a podcast?
Yeah.
I thought you weren't serious, bro.
What?
I'm gonna leave.
What did you think this was?
Wait, this is my living room?
Yeah. We're sitting on your couch in your living room.
Oh, this I thought we were at a serious studio or something.
This is very professional. This is the magic of radio. You can take it wherever. Not so much with music, you know. You can't just whip out a little recorder out of your pocket and jam. I guess you can. I mean, if it's like the flute recorder.
It's not like you can whip out an acoustic guitar and just play.
I mean,
Wait, hold on.
You can.
Laptops and good microphones, you can maybe make a decent recording.
Yeah, but then you're dealing with wires and stuff. We're wireless right now.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't sound as good.
Okay.
But you're wireless.
Well, you're gonna get that once you get your sponsorships. You're gonna be able to afford a nice field recorder. Maybe you could insert a couple microphones into there.
I
don't know if you want to sell out.
I have. You sell out by having good audio, bro.
How dare you?
How dare you
improve your podcast?
My mom, for Christmas, bought me a pair of Beats, and I've never had an interest in Beats.
Oh, they taste so good, though, like on salad.
Beats.
She got you two Beats to put on your salad.
She put Beats in my stocking. Mm-hmm. Like a Korean barbecue.
Did she ask if you want to get turned up like Michelle Obama?
Did she really say that?
Yeah. And then she made a Vine video. She's like, let's get turned up. And then she pulled out turnips and started dancing.
That's awesome. They're like the coolest presidential family. I think that's like maybe not the most effective. But
well, I mean, the president and his wife, but the daughters are kind of like, you could tell they probably don't enjoy, like...
Well, they're like 12.
...the spotlight. I know, they're just busy being 12.
Yeah, like, they
and
don't...
And then it's just, like, even worse because they're the president's daughters.
They're gonna get boyfriends, it's gonna be really weird and awkward. How do you function like that when, like, your dad is the president? Because I always thought, like, Eminem's daughter, like, how do you function when your dad's Eminem? But he's the president.
Eminem?
Yeah.
Well, no. Eminem's the president?
No, Eminem's not the president.
Oh.
Barack Obama... No, I was... I jumped too far. I tried to make a connection and it didn't work. You have an album coming out on Tuesday?
Yeah, it's coming out on a Special Thing Records. It's my comedy special. No, I'm just kidding.
a special thing? Oh, we're going to talk all about comedy.
I play in a band called Viernes 13. They've been around for a long time, like since mid to late 90s. I joined 6 years ago, and they had just recorded an album that I wasn't able to record on. And then a couple years later, we recorded an EP with a band called Gambler's Mark, which I actually started playing with before Viernes. And I recorded on their album as well, The Cho Incident, which came out, I think, a year or two ago. And then with Viernes 13, we've been recording this album for, I think, the past 2 years with Johnny Avila. That name might sound familiar to some people as the bass player for Oingo Boingo.
There you go.
And he's also produced albums for bands like Real Big Fish, Voodoo Glow Skulls, Mariachi El Bronx. Produced a song for Madness.
How'd you get hooked up with a guy like that?
Well, what happened is there's a promoter that we work with who was one of his interns once upon a time, and he kind of got us in touch with him, and we've always wanted to work with him.
Yeah.
Even before I joined the band, and so he hooked us up, and we did self-produce this, so we did pay for his services and his studio, but, you know, he's amazing. He's a really great producer. Suburban Legends he produced. He's so many bands that he's produced, the albums that I am fans of, and he really was able to work with us on our songs and enhance them.
Yeah.
Through both arranging, adding parts, taking away parts, and his recording setup is incredible. So is well worth it. You'll hear the quality on the album. Should be available online on Tuesday. But is this going up on Saturday?
It's going up. Yeah, it's going up tomorrow.
Tomorrow morning. So right now it's Friday. So we're gonna time travel.
We're gonna go into the future.
And so tonight, if you're listening to this Saturday, January 10th. Viernes 13 is playing their album release party at the world-famous Troubadour in West Hollywood.
World-famous.
Hall & Oates got their start there.
That's right. And you're playing with Left Alone, which is
and
a band.
And Hall & Oates is actually going to open up the show.
No, they're not.
You're right. Left Alone. Elvis was gracious enough to get us in contact with the Troubadour. So Left Alone is a direct support on the show. By the way, the show's all ages.
There you go.
$12 at the door, super cheap. And let's see, opening up the show, we have Whittier's own The Delarians, East L.A., Whittier. They rehearse in Whittier now, but they're from East L.A., most of the guys.
It's all about where you rehearse, though, yeah. Not where you're from.
Exactly. Yeah. Traditional, like, we used to be from Southgate, then we were from Monterey Park, then we were from Santa Fe Springs, and then we were from Monterey Park. Now we're from Whittier. Yeah,
that's a new thing.
No need to get technical. Yeah. The next band after that is a Johnny Madcap, and the don't want to give out the wrong information, like Distractions, Disasters. I'm a horrible person. And then Left Alone, and then Vienna Celeste will be playing our entire album.
There you go,
all the way through. And we're very excited to announce that we have on this album Mr. Fredo Ortiz. And people might recognize him if they've ever seen the Beastie Boys play, because he has been their percussionist since 1995. And he's been in a million other bands, tons of other bands. If you're in the ska scene, you may have seen him play percussion for Western Standard Time. If you're an L.A. rocker, indie rock, you may remember the band Morningwood. He played drums in. He's actually going to replace a good friend of mine, Oliver Charles, who plays drums, played in the ska band Ocean 11, is just finishing up playing drums for a band named Gogo Bordello.
There you go.
Which I'm sure a lot of people know. And Fredo Ortiz is going to be replacing him and Gogo Bordello, because Oliver Charles is going to be going back to Ben Harper's band.
Well, goddamn.
Yeah.
That's like a switch, like a bunch of moving parts.
Yeah.
Like ska.
Going from one awesome band to another awesome band. So Fredo is going to be on stage with us. He recorded on the album. He's going to play with us on stage. And then also, we have a couple Psychobilly songs on this album. And so we hired Mr. Jeff Rofredo of the Agrolites. You also may remember him from Tiger Army, from Calavera, from Lobo Negro, from The Resurrects, C-Spot, Chris Murray Combo. He's played in a lot of bands. And he's playing upright bass with us four songs tonight at the Troubadour.
Yeah, I listened to some of the songs on the album, and the bass just sounds so fucking crunchy. And
yeah,
it's gonna be a fun show, dude.
Our bass player Jesse Castro is incredible. He's really good, really fast, very talented guy. But you know, for those two particular songs on the album that were psychobilly, I mean, you gotta have that slap bass in there.
Yeah,
and you gotta have one of the best upright bass players around. And so we made it happen. We're very glad that he was able to appear on the album, and we're excited to have him appear on stage with us.
So what do you think? Should we, like, play one of the more psychobilly songs and give people, like, an example?
Yeah, let's play this song. This song is called
6 Feet Deep.
And let's go ahead and start it.
As you listen,
by my side, the way it should be, baby. 6 feet deep, right next to me. The way it should be, baby. The way it should be, baby. Next to me. I can't wait for you to die.
That was like my favorite song.
Oh my god,
that song.
You know, it really gets you going.
Yeah.
And then the part about like the dog and like, you know, when you accidentally back over your dog. That, like, it's pretty deep. Like, you guys have to read into it. You guys may have not recognized it right away, but there's a part where our singer JP made a nod to the dog that he accidentally ran over when he backed out of the driveway.
Yeah.
Pretty deep.
Pretty deep. What is a dog? I feel like the dog though is like allegorical, and it's like talking more towards like relationships.
Are you an English major?
Yeah. No.
Oh wow.
I'm just a big nerd.
You are a big nerd.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what that word means.
Mm. It's when you have like something represent something else. Have you ever read Animal Farm?
Yes.
So like the animals represent Russia.
Right.
And the farm represents communism.
Right.
Right. So I think.
So what's this podcast about?
I don't know.
Because I don't really like the way we're going here.
I've already done.
Like, I graduated. You know, I got my degree.
We go everywhere, man. I feel like I'm going to be the guy who's going to be, like, 30. And he's going to be reading, I don't know, books. Just in general, books.
People do that. There's definitely people out there. There's definitely a market for that.
Yeah, but I don't think they're, like, 30. Do you read books?
Nope.
So, yeah.
But I'm not 30. I'm 31. Oh. So. Well,
did you read books last year? Why? Okay. People call you Bubba. Why?
Oh, we're not going to talk about the band anymore?
Oh, we'll get back to it. But why do people... Okay, question for you. How do you feel...
You going to edit that whole section down?
No.
Okay. How do you... You want some more guinea pig poop?
No, I'm good. I barely do any editing on this show. You're gonna hear this. You're gonna be like, "Wow."
Clear Channel needs to hire this guy.
Except maybe that they're not Clear Channel anymore. They're iHeartMedia now.
They're what?
iHeartMedia.
So stupid.
Yeah. Because they have that.
Unless they want to hire me, then I love it.
Yeah, I think it's great personally. I can do some great production work for you guys. I know how to get it down to a tight 30. If you need a promo, I can do all that. People call you Bubba. How does it feel having your name associated with prison rape?
Well,
what does that make you think of besides prison?
Like, I've never been to prison, and I've never been the raper or the rapee, but
why aren't they ever called rapees, by the way? Like, is that just
like, I don't even call it rape. I call it unilateral consensual sex. Unilateral. Yeah. Unilateral consensual sex.
So,
it's consensual.
But you know, in a unilateral
like
sex?
Like, someone gave consent. Why are we telling rape jokes on your podcast?
Dude, this is tame.
You know how many people you're going to lose?
Is California a two-party state?
It's just a party.
California is one big party, according to Tupac and Dr. Dre.
Tupac's hologram?
Tupac's hologram. When you die...
You know, getting back to Bubba, is I earned that nickname when I was a newborn, so it's kind of... weird that you're talking about
prison rape. I'm sorry, I don't mean to soil your childhood with prison rape.
And I mean, neither of my parents were in prison.
That's good.
So,
are you sure?
Nope.
Mm.
We can ask him. They live a few houses down.
Yeah, we should go over there right now.
But wait, they're at the Arc Light.
Oh. Your parents are cool. What are they seeing at the Arc Light?
They're empty nesters now.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't live home anymore. I do live four houses down.
Yeah. One time, quick story. One time I came to Bubba's house. We were going to go to a comedy show together. And my mom dropped me off. And he gave me his mom's address.
By accident.
And I think I freaked your mom out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm looking for... I forgot if I called you Francis or Bubba, but I'm looking
for you. Yeah, she called me and she's like, hey, Bubba. And I'm like, yeah. She's like, there's some blind guy here looking for you.
I should have, like, asked her for donations or something and see if she would have given me money.
Yeah, I gave her, like, told her that you should have did sign language.
You should, yeah. And then spin him around and then leave him.
Yeah. What?
And
give her one of those, like, sign language little cards? You know?
No, I don't. I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's deaf people. And then they come up to you and they give you a card and they're like, give me a dollar.
Really?
Yeah.
Why don't...
Well, that would have been funny if you would have did that to her because you're not deaf.
Do you think deaf people are ever upset because all their friends sound the same?
Deaf people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't make sign language sound different. Like, one person says something.
But maybe the way their hands move in the air is a little bit different.
Can you have accents?
Let me call up my friend Ryan, the like deaf fraternity brother.
Is he deaf?
Yeah, I'm going to call him up right now.
Oh. Are you going to teach
him
Ryan?
Hold on, it's ringing. It's ringing. It's still ringing. You know, he never picks up.
I just think he doesn't like talking to you.
He really needs to put his phone on vibrate.
He really needs to pick up his phone, man.
Why can't he hear it?
I don't know.
We're stupid. Hey, if you ever see us at a comedy show together, It's good.
It's good. Why? We promise. Why did you start doing comedy?
Why?
This is a generic question, but tell me why.
You know, because I was just like a funny dude, like ever since I was a little kid, little baby. I have funny, like on my dad's side of the family, I have like funny cousins.
Yeah.
And there's like three of us that are like the clowns of the family. And one of them also does music like me, but he doesn't really do comedy. He does. I think he's taken some classes at UCB. He went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Ooh, that sounds dramatic.
Yeah.
And theatrical.
Yeah. So, of course, he's working as a bartender. Because he's an actor.
Yeah.
But he's the world's best bartender.
I think that trend is shifting, by the way. Like, everyone in LA is who wants to be an actor is a bartender. But I think they're slowly but surely becoming Uber drivers.
Yeah. Uber. Lyft.
How many comedians do you know at this point
who are Lyft drivers? Comedians?
Yeah.
The only one I know for sure is Evan Cassidy.
I know like five of them.
So if you guys need a Lyft in Orange County, you contact my man Evan Cassidy.
Yeah. Only him, though.
Just him.
Yeah, don't look give those up. Other Uber drivers your
like
business.
If you see a car coming and Evan Cassidy's not driving it, just tell him never mind.
Yeah.
Until Evan Cassidy comes up to you, you don't take that ride.
That's right. That's right. I wanted to
You're sitting at home. Thinking your life's passing you. No, I'm just kidding. Why don't you become a Lyft driver? Why don't you drive for Uber? Because you don't have a car. So go to UEI.
Go to the
get $100,000 in debt.
University of Phoenix.
Buy a car. Become an Uber driver.
Buy a car. And
wait, how are you going to buy a car to become an Uber driver? You know, there's companies out there that rent the cars out.
Really?
Yeah, but how do you get the money to rent?
Drugs.
Fight the conundrum.
You sell drugs?
Drugs.
Not that I condone that sort of thing, but I think that's what you do if you go to, like, UEI.
UEI.
Where?
There's a place in society for for-profit colleges.
No, there isn't.
Just trying to be nice.
I just totally broke the number one rule.
Look, if I'm going to put, like, $100,000 in debt for going to college...
Is it that expensive?
That fucking degree better say, like, USC or... Harvard or some bullshit on it, you know?
Yeah, not,
not like University of any for-profit college. I have friends that have gone to for-profit colleges, and they're doing okay, but most of them aren't.
Yeah.
I hope my friends aren't listening to this.
You know? I don't know. I don't know who listens to this, to be honest. But they do enjoy, the demographic enjoys rape jokes. And the sounds of people crunching pretzels on the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they like.
Guinea pig poop?
Guinea pig poop. Wow. Okay, cool. So
that's how I got into comedy.
When did you start though?
18.
You were 18. Did you
I
do
was
it?
Through, 18.
Did you do it through college?
I did it through college. So here's the breakdown, my friend. In middle school, I produced a little play about the 12 Days of Christmas, where I played a delivery man that dressed as Santa.
Ah, classic.
And, I'd be fully dressed as Santa, and then by the 12th day of Christmas, I'd be in my long johns. And it was just to get people to laugh. And
I don't get the joke.
I don't get it either. I was 13.
Okay.
And it was farce. It was, I would get really angry and rip something off and then walk off stage. And then the next day of Christmas, I'd show up and then I'd get really angry and rip something off.
Actually, that is funny. And then you just like,
and then
by the end,
I'd be, you know, in my long johns.
Okay.
Like the onesie long johns with the butt flap.
Maybe I'm 13 because I think that's funny. I got a butt flap story, but tell your story first.
Then I went into high school and I actually did a theater summer school, but I didn't really do a lot of theater during that. I was helping the former graduating seniors of the theater class produce a little Beowulf movie that they filmed at the school.
Was Angelina Jolie in it?
Yeah. Mm. So you've seen it.
Yeah.
And then my friend's brother was really funny and he had funny friends in that. So then I joined theater in high school, aside from also band and newspaper stuff.
Here's the thing.
Because I'm a winner.
Here's the thing. We went to the same high school, like a generation apart, and we had the same drama teacher.
Yep.
And, he's still there.
That's the story. Did that add to this conversation?
I thought it would.
Technically, it did?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, maybe we should talk about that. Maybe we should start over.
We should expand on...
So, how did me and Des know each other? We started going to the same open mic, and then we found out that... that we were both from Pico Rivera.
Which is a...
And we also met another guy from Pico Rivera there, Matt Walker, who's white.
Okay. For those who aren't aware, Pico Rivera, I think it's still like 97% Hispanic.
Yeah.
And Matt Walker is...
white.
And a ginger.
Translucent.
Yeah. He's like the white... He might be one of the whitest people I know.
He's whiter than Conan O'Brien.
I will take your word for it.
Why is that? No, anyway,
Matt Walker, by the way,
Matt Walker
on the podcast.
Is a generation behind me. So I'm about 20 years older than, I'm sorry, 10 years older than Dez, and Matt Walker's 10 years older than me, 20 years older than Dez. And it's crazy because we all went to the same high school.
And we all do comedy in a chicken wing restaurant. And when we do, they're like.
I think Matt Walker knew Mr. Wasik too.
Yeah.
So.
Jesus.
It's crazy that all three of us knew some of the same teachers. And then me and Des knew some of the same teachers, and me and Matt knew some of the same teachers.
So when we're
Pico Rivera.
When we're all in the same open mic, it feels like when you have three different combustible elements, like the place might explode at some
point. Right. That also happens when there's three gingers in there.
Which never happens.
It's happened once.
Has it really?
Yeah, I told everyone to make a wish.
Oh, God. I feel like I would have sensed it if it happened. Like, I would have felt like my, you know.
Maybe you weren't at that one.
I don't think so. Stop going for it.
Well, I have red hair in my beard and they tingled.
What?
The red hairs in my beard when there was three dead gingers in the room, you know?
Oh, they just, like, they
my
felt,
red hair is jingled.
It's like when magnets are near each other.
Is that jingle? Is that right?
No. I think it's tingled.
Tingled. Yeah. Tinkled?
Tinkled.
I could be wrong.
Tickled?
Yeah.
Maybe.
My diction is not good.
Oh, Jesus.
Smart people joke.
I forgot what we were talking about.
I like how like half of my jokes and Duncan Gale's jokes don't work for general audiences.
Duncan Gale is I want to get him on the show too because I love the guy. He's a philosophy professor and he also does comedy and his jokes are very philosophical in a comedic way. He'll be like, so how about this Euripides guy, right? I love that joke and I just stole his joke. I gotta apologize now.
We didn't follow through with it. So.
That's true. No, that's the joke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's how he opens his sets, when he says he's going to do some ancient Greek material.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Why don't you think your jokes work for the general audience? I understand Duncan's, because he's talking...
His numbers. Are even farther above mine. Like, mine, like, I have a joke where I say that a woman calls me a pedophile, And then I comment by saying, I don't know how she knew I had a foot fetish.
You should just outright.
She never met me.
You should just outright tell people I'm a pedophile, and then they're gonna be like, they're gonna, you know.
And then I'll be like, I have a foot fetish.
Yeah, you're gonna like, why are you guys not? Why are you guys judging me? Is it because you don't approve of my foot fetish?
Yeah. But even then, if people do not associate ped with foot,
yeah,
they're still not. Gonna
they're not used to.
Well, because see, because see, that joke's like a double header. It's like. So there's this. Have you guys been this? This is a beer and wine bar, and they're known for their beer and for their pizza.
Yeah.
So they serve pizza, and then it's a beer and wine bar. It's called Chuck E. Cheese. So that's joke number one, and then joke number two, and that always well doesn't always get a laugh, but general audience. And then the second joke is, yeah, I was hanging out over there, you know, having my pizza and beer, and this woman comes up to the table, and she calls me a pedophile. You know, which is weird, because I don't know how she knew I had a foot fetish.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I like the joke, but I don't think a lot of people are up on Latin etymology.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Or I have, like, a joke about how I want to open up my own gym, and I'm going to be call it Belly's, like, you know, Belly Total Fitness, except it's going to be spelled B-E-L-L-I-E-S, and... you know, like bellies, like a belly.
Yeah.
Like your belly.
Yeah.
You're trying to work on your belly, but it's for unmotivated people like me. And so, you know, most gyms, they hire kinesiology majors to help you work out, you know, because they have the knowledge of the, you know, the body and whatever, working out, sports medicine.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, you still have to be motivated to go and work with, but see, if you work with a telekinesiology major... It, you know, and then the thing is, telekinesiology is technically not a word, but if you know the word telekinesis, you know where I'm going with it.
Yeah.
But if you don't know what the word telekinesis means, then the joke's not funny at all. Because basically, what I'm saying is, you don't have to be motivated if someone could mind control your body movement.
They can like mind you into doing push-ups.
Right. Exactly. And you know, against your own will, and that's the kind of, you know.
So they can rape you with exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, you don't have to be motivated. They just do it. You just show up to my gym. We get these telekinesiology majors. Boom. They make you work out. Like, they literally make you work out. But see, if people don't know what telekinesis is, then
that gym
falls flat.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know.
I think the problem is...
The education system in America.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Is that what you're going to...
I was gonna say people.
I didn't mean to get religious.
I was gonna say people are stupid, but I mean that's basically the same.
Yeah, I think, you know, the government's finally trying to get their crap together, but they're still removing a lot of things from education.
I thought I didn't ever believe in the education system or like think that it needed to be reformed until I started doing comedy, and people wouldn't get the smart jokes.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. I mean, then there sometimes you'll know you'll get that joke, and then, you know, and then the audience will laugh. But you know what sucks is more times often than not. So I'm trying to figure out, how do you gauge an audience? Like, what's a test joke? So like one of the test jokes would be the pedophile joke.
Yeah.
You know, but what are some easier test jokes that I could tell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah, I don't even have. I mean, I guess I should probably develop test jokes, but usually people laugh at stuff as long as it's not too smart. As long as it'll stop doing Harry Potter jokes, which I personally love, but people seem not to like those jokes.
Yeah, I don't even read those books or see those movies. So.
Yeah, I guess
when people tell those jokes, or they tell Lord of the Ring jokes, or like Matt Walker likes to tell a lot of sports jokes.
Yeah, I don't get
and
those.
It's like, huh?
I get lost too, yeah.
I mean, he's a great comedian, but...
He's super funny. He's got his specials up on Amazon, so if you go watch it, use my link. So I
Amazon Prime. For
it. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Comedy, music, why do you do both?
You know, I don't know. I have ADD, and people with ADD typically spread themselves thin.
Do you think that's like the mark of an entertainer, is attention deficit disorder?
I think there's a lot of entertainers. I mean, Adam Levine has it. I know that, because... He tells me to take Adderall on TV.
So, who's that? Is that the Maroon 5 guy?
Yes.
Take Adderall.
And then he also says to take Proactive.
But mostly Adderall.
Mostly Adderall.
Yeah. Well, that's...
Wait, do you take Proactive? I think you just
apply
it on your skin.
Yeah.
On your skin.
Is he the spokesperson for Proactiv now?
He's the spokesperson for Proactiv and Adderall.
Why does Adderall need a spokesperson?
It doesn't. There's enough people taking that don't even need it.
You don't need a spokesperson. Do you think in 20 years when marijuana is finally legalized, they're going to have a spokesperson for marijuana? And who's it going to be?
Michael Phelps. It's like, dude, that guy's, like, in shape and, you know.
Here's the thing with Michael Phelps, because I was learning about reading up on, like, what the Olympics allows. And what
I'm not saying he's not one of those guys where you're talking to them.
Yeah.
And you're like, so how about these potheads? And then you find out they're a pothead and you're like, no freaking way. You're so, you know, astute and sharp and don't sound like a stoner.
You're not the stereotype.
Like, I'm like, oh, okay, so you're, it's okay if you smoke weed, I guess.
Yeah.
And then there's people and you're just like, you're a stoner. Like, you don't need to be, you don't need that in your life.
Yeah.
So you're sitting at home.
That's called a callback. That's what that was.
But see, I'm the kind of guy where it's like, you think I'm stoned all the time. So I'm like, yeah, I don't think I need to.
You know, people think I'm stoned all the time because I don't make eye contact.
Yeah.
So.
You're like, it's a social anxiety. Oh.
Yeah. I blame that one, though.
You tell them the stick is a comfort stick. It's registered as an assistant stick pet.
Assistant stick pet. I couldn't afford a dog. I got a stick.
I got a stick.
It's the equivalent of somebody having a rock.
And since I don't make eye contact with anything, including things right in front of me, I have to walk with this comfort stick.
Yeah. That's a...
Are you kidding me? You being blind? You small-minded prick.
Small-minded, man.
Other things.
You're doing your show tonight.
Wait, didn't you ask me why I do comedy and music?
Oh, yeah. Why do you do those things?
I don't know.
You said it's an ADD thing.
I like performing, you know, because I'm not really great at either one, you know. But I'm good enough to play at the Troubadour tonight.
Yes, tonight. You should go. Tickets are only $12.
Yeah, and...
you have to get them out the door, though, because I don't think there's a website.
And then the comedy thing, I actually...
You fell out of it for a while, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, I would fall in and out of it, like, every year to 4 years all the time. And this time, I'm actually doing it a little more. I'm not pushing as hard as a lot of comedians are very pushy. Or try to, like, they have their own room, and they try to hook up each other with the other room, and you give me time, and I'll give you time. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm just like, you know what? If you come to an open mic, and you have a room, and you see me, and you think I'm all right, go ahead and book me. And yeah. I'll probably do it for free, you know?
Yeah, if you're going to be a comic in L.A., and you're probably not getting paid ever.
Yeah, but the thing is, most comics, and we are in L.A., so there's a comic, there's, like, one comic for every three people, very pushy. A lot of comics are very pushy. Get me on the show, get me on that show. I got time here, give me time there. And I'm not like that, so a lot of those people end up doing a lot more time than I do. And I don't know, maybe that's bad for me.
Yeah, I think to a degree you need that. I mean, you know...
I think you need to promote yourself and sell yourself.
As opposed to just getting up?
You do need to get up too, but I think the way I would like to get up is instead of being pushy, I just want to show.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, there's some promoters out there that, you know, I would say half the promoters out there are comics themselves, and that that's a different mindset than, like, a promoter, like, say, Loud Village, who they have shows at the Best Fish Taco in Ensenada every Tuesday, or one Tuesday a month, I don't know, something like that. Look them up, Loud Village.
Yeah.
And that guy is actually just, like, I think he's just a DJ, but he just likes comedy, and that's how he started. And it's one of the best shows in L.A. Every Tuesday is free, you know, headliners there. You can see headliners there at a fish taco stand.
Yeah. Well, here's why I think people, comics who are promoters, aren't as effective. And obviously, we have friends that are both, and, you know who you are, but... I think the reason comics become promoters is because they realize when you're a comic in L.A., you're not making any money. And when you promote, there's a chance you can make a little money.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the only reason people become What is there any other incentive for you to be a promoter other than maybe make money?
I just feel like if you're going to be a promoter, it should be for the purpose of trying to get, you know, the whatever the entertainment is out there. Like, your purpose shouldn't be to make money. It should be to expose comics or to expose certain types of music. Or, you know, for me, it was, you know, when I was a promoter with Rich, I also played in a band called The Israelites, and me and the lead singer were kind of did promoting for a while, and it was basically, we would pretty much play almost every single show, but we would almost never make money. Almost all the money went to the other bands. It was a chance for other bands of you know, traditional ska to play, because there's not a whole lot of places for them to play. And so I think if you're going to even be a comedy promoter, you should be wanting to do that for the purpose of exposing talent and to bring, you know, people that don't know these particular comedians, you know, but there's varying similarities between the music scene and the comedy scene.
I would imagine.
But some of them, it is apples and oranges, but they're both fruit.
That's true. who's the, you don't have to name names, but have you had like an experience with like the worst promoter or like outrageous demands from a promoter?
No, I just think... there's just good promoters and there's bad promoters.
Yeah.
If you're going to be a promoter, promote more than Facebook. Just because you post something on Facebook, that doesn't mean anything.
Or you made a flyer on Photoshop.
Yeah, if you're going to make a flyer, make sure it's a decent flyer. I would say one of my biggest complaints about the comedy scene is that even the good flyers are bad flyers. I would say in the music scene, I see more good flyers than bad flyers. I do see definitely lots of bad flyers.
Yeah.
But in the comedy scene, just notoriously awful flyers. Where are we, like, ripping apart the rooms?
I don't know.
But, yeah, I would say if you're going to be a promoter, invest money in your night, man. I mean, like, you know, get or work with a place that will invest money in you as a promoter.
Or just book us, and then you won't.
Yeah, just book me and Dez, and we'll co-host. And Dez will run the board.
That's right.
And he'll host from the board, and I'll host from another chair in the audience. And we'll never. No, I don't know. That was dumb.
I don't know what that even was.
I don't know.
What are you alluding to?
Rewind.
What are you setting up for there?
I mean, you got to invest in your thing. Does it have? Has to have a good sound system, good lights, good decent stage or stage area. But it's different. Like I would say in the Wing Fix, you know, that's more of like a community oriented type of open mic.
Yeah. With beer.
With beer. Yeah. And if your open mic's more of like community oriented, not clicky, not a click, but just welcoming with arms wide open. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So that's, you know, either you're going to do that, but don't just have, you know,
don't do that, is what he's saying.
Yeah. Or, you know, open mic is a good opportunity, if you're going to have an open mic, to get your own stage time, of course. But make sure it's a decent open mic, you know what I mean? You know, that you have decent lights, decent sound.
Yeah.
Decent everything.
Because maybe then you'll actually entice regular people to stay and watch.
Yeah, or to just come, to show up.
Yeah. I think I've met a grand total of, like, 2 people, and both of the same open mic.
Mm-hmm.
That aren't comics, and they just go just to watch comedy that may or may not be good.
Right.
Because at an open mic, there's no guarantee.
They're just there to support,
yeah,
you know, comedy.
Which is awesome. If you're listening and you do that, good for you. Do it more.
Yeah, the Wing Fix every Friday. You know, pretty good. There's so many mics out there. If you go to the Comedy Bureau on Tumblr, there's a lot of open mics listed there.
Yeah.
Daily, they post shows and open mics that are happening in the alley area. And then that's just a small fraction of the actual open mics.
Yeah, there are open mics that happen. Like, I know some guy runs an open mic off, like, the roof of his apartment complex.
Wow.
I mean, they're just some really random open mics. But, like, the more time you can get in front of humans that can perceive emotion, the better I think you're going to be eventually as a... That's a funny person. What about music? Are there like open mics?
Oh yeah,
for music.
Yeah. I mean, for like if you set up an acoustic guitar or a keyboard or something like that. there's a lot of open format open mics where you'll have someone doing spoken word and someone reading a suicide poem.
Yeah.
And then you'll have a comedian try to go up and follow that.
Which is the worst.
Yes. I've done those open mics and they're hard. Maybe it's a learning experience, maybe not.
I think they are. I think it's a learning experience.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
It's a challenge.
So how do bands get booked? Maybe that's a...
You know, when you're in high school, it's really easy because you can just tell your friends to go. Sell tickets to your friends. When you're not, I mean, you can tell people from work, but you just got to put product out there, man. It's all about marketing. You know, you got to put stuff on YouTube. You know, like, as a comic and as a musician, you should be on Facebook, Twitter, you know, Vine, Instagram. You should be on all that, and you should be keeping all that stuff updated on the regular. And you should be putting out original content. I mean, some of the comedians I know, you know, they have comedy groups that they do videos and they put them up on YouTube, and now they could be like on, you know, Crackle or one of them websites, Funny or Die, or, you know, what have you. They start out on YouTube and then they get a following, and then they get kicked down a little bit of money from these websites that can help them.
Not the dream. Like, that's the ultimate dream, is to get paid to be funny. And I think very few
people. Well, same thing with music, you know.
Get paid to play music, because people who play music apparently like it. Is that right?
Is that
an accurate statement? Cool, man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we get paid, but we put all the money back into the band. Like, we don't actually make money, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't actually profit, but, you know, we're lucky enough to get paid at our gigs to where we could then use that money to release albums. You know, we have to self-promote, we have to self-produce these albums.
But it's for the art.
Financially, but yeah, it's to get the music out there, to share our music, you know, with more people.
Well, the album's up on Tuesday, right?
Should be up online everywhere on Tuesday.
iTunes and Amazon and stuff?
Yeah, I think, iTunes, Amazon. Hopefully it'll be up, like, on Pandora and Spotify, too. But you can also buy it tonight at the Troubadour.
Yes, you can.
I believe the CD is going to be 10 smackaroonies. Limited copies at that show tonight. Very limited copies. You'll then have to go to the store or, Amoeba or buy it online. Or once we get more CDs, then you can buy it at a future show. Which we don't have anything lined up right now. And our drummer just had a baby. So Mike. Yeah, he had a baby. It's crazy. Like Junior. Be crazy. But come out tonight if you can. You know, we didn't even talk about that. That I can draw and stuff. Either.
You can draw?
I'm okay.